8:50 The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You are tuned to Computers 2K3 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host for the next 2 hours, along with Jim Duffy. Oh,
good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
After my voice lower.
Good morning,
good morning, Jim. And Spencer's here too.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our producer screener, Ken, is here too. He's here with us.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Do we have any reports about how it's going to be today, or just stick your head out the window?
Oh, it's nice outside, actually. It's partly cloudy. It'll get a little more cloudy this afternoon. It's actually just bright sunshine right now. Highs in the upper 60s. So it's going to be a beautiful day. Get a little bit cloudier the rest of the
day. And you're going to be stuck here?
Rest of the afternoon. I will be, but that shouldn't stop everyone else from getting outside.
Okay.
Put the TV on the porch. Put your feet up. Watch some basketball. It's 42 degrees right now outside, and it's going to be nice all week. Actually, Monday partly cloudy, highs in the upper 60s, and then Tuesday mostly sunny with highs in the mid 70s.
Wow,
spring's
on
its way.
It's coming. It's coming. That's it.
Should be nice.
Thank you very much, sir.
Anytime.
Appreciate it. And our number is 860-0850, *50 and #50 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. We'll pay for them. Can you hear the music? I can't. I mean, we got to hear the music.
I can't.
We have to be able to hear the music. So you can keep on.
That's got to go.
No, it's not. It is not going anywhere.
It can now, though.
The show. We love computers.
The show.
We love computers.
It can go now, though.
We just love computers. You don't understand. I know you coming just here, you know, every now and then.
Every now and then.
He comes here himself talk.
Being attitude.
We are computer soul.
Ooh. Okay. Say it again.
I can't get my voice low enough to say it.
Oh, okay. And with us in the studio is Rick. Say your last name.
Smith.
Oh, come on.
No, nobody's anonymous on the show here.
Rick Bartosik.
Bartosik.
Yeah, 100% Polish.
And Rick is with
Nortel Network.
Yeah.
Rick is
a... Be the proud.
An architect, a network architect working in the Southeast region, who I've had the experience... working with over, it's got to be close to 8 years.
8 years
now.
Back to
an extremely competent person when it comes to network design, and has specialized in the last few years on
VoIP.
Don't say that.
IP, voice over IP.
Even VoIP.
Emerging telephony.
Right. Convergence, so to speak.
All these big words.
Right.
But not VoIP.
No, well, we could say that,
they say down at the garage when we're working on it.
Just don't let my boss...
call on your VoIP?
Just don't let my boss and me say VoIP.
An architect.
Right.
Any networks out there that we can look at?
Plenty of networks out there to look at.
See the blueprint, right? Take us a tour through the network, and I'd like to change that wall. I don't like the wall. I want to move it up, door over there.
Yeah.
All right. Major networks.
So, real short for those of us that don't understand what is voice over IP?
Voice over IP is a technology that's been around actually for some time. We call it packet telephony, we call it IP telephony, we call it LAN telephony, we call it a lot of different acronyms, but in short, the simple explanation is that you would take an analog or a digital phone, okay, and you would packetize that voice communications into IP. And that could be done a lot of different ways. That could be done in software, off a workstation. It could be done as an adapter that you would plug into your home analog phone, or as an adjunct piece. It could be done from a communication server that would control disparate gateways. There are a lot of different things there are a lot of different ways of using technology. There are a lot of different companies out there right now that allow you to actually use the internet to communicate, which is pretty interesting. Obviously, there are some issues with the internet with quality of service, but for the most part, it's free. You know, you pay for your ISP connection, and they give you a gateway of some sort, or they might give you software. You know, there are a lot of different ways of looking at that, but it's very inexpensive. And I think that the majority of the reason why people are doing the technology or looking at the technology from like an enterprise standpoint is because of the evolving applications that are right around the corner, or at least knocking on the door, that allow for more interpersonal communications, allowing us to integrate typical applications into telephony, which has never really happened before. So it's a pretty exciting technology. From the enterprise standpoint, there are a lot of different issues you have to be aware of, but it's something that we see enterprises looking at all the time, and any trade rag you read talks about IP telephony.
Mm-hmm. How long has it been in use?
It's been in use, I would say, there are really two different types of ways of using IP telephony. One would be in a trunking standpoint, where you actually have locations that talk across an internet, and then the other would be where you actually have IP phones. Okay. The trunking scenario has been around for probably about 6 years. And actually, before that, we, you know, the Department of Defense is the company that, you know, certainly started the technology way back a number of years ago. But from an enterprise standpoint, I would say about 6 years in that regard. We have just seen over the last couple of years, enterprise premise-based customers buying IP phones and bringing in communication servers, or what we would call IP enabling their existing equipment. So I'd say maybe 3 to 4 years really whole scale.
I think people don't realize that a lot of the voice communications in the major networks have either converted or are about to convert
right.
to being packetized.
Well, that's important because transparency is really important, right? I mean, if you make a call one day and it sounds good, great. I mean, you just take it for granted, and particularly if you have dial tone. Make a call the next day and it's there's echo and it doesn't sound very good. You're gonna start to complain, and so the technology's there. I mean, we can certainly emulate the TDM networks of old, right? From what it sounds like, but like Spence said, most if not all of the major pop to pop communications is packetized of some sort, whether it's IP or frame or ATM. It's not the typical voice communications of old.
Do you remember a few years ago when they came out the statistic that said that for the first time data exceeded voice on the large backbones?
Right.
That was the wake-up call for these carriers to say, if you're not already converted to having a digital backbone where the reverse is true, where it's a data network that happens to carry voice, not a voice network that happens to carry data. That was the wake-up call to say, look what's coming. It's all going to be in a data format. So that's what's happened in the backbones. And now we'll see it with broadband rolling out to houses.
Exactly.
Out small businesses now can have an internet connection between them and call between the small businesses and never touch the public telephone network.
I think what's important about that is that you now have, if you think about voice communications in general, most voice communications is proprietary within the existing system that we talk about. Okay, and when we talk about communicating between systems across the PSTN, obviously there's some interoperability that we have there. But now we have got protocols that allow myself or anybody to go to Radio Shack and buy a phone that's going to be what we call SIP-enabled. And if you've got broadband, most carriers are going to provide you with IP SIP technologies, and that's going to make the technology really grow. Just being able to go anywhere and use that communications.
Just we should say what acronyms are, though. But even PTSN.
PSTN?
PSTN, I'm sorry.
The PTSN.
I'm getting it right.
Public Switch Telephony Network, right.
That would be the traditional network that's out there, been out there for 100 years.
Right.
The I can call you with an area code and get to you no matter where you are in the world is that public network.
Hopefully.
That's right. That's important. That's
we take for granted in the U.S.
And sure.
Just 15 years ago, I remember a visitor from Germany coming over to the United States and showing the guy, well, here, you can make a long-distance call from this payphone and talk to California, and it connects in less than 2 seconds.
Right.
What? It was just unheard of.
Well, not just that, but the quality is so much better, too. I mean, the PTT, which is the European PSTN, so to speak, the quality of typically over there is mostly analog, and it's not very good. It's better than cell phone quality, as we know, but it's not near as crisp as the calls we have over here based on technology.
I remember the first time I traveled to Europe, the shock of some of the telephones that were in the hotel rooms.
They were just rotary dial.
Ooh, yeah. You know, pulse technology.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't use the modem. It just wasn't available.
Can that be attributed to, is this why prices are going down? Because the technology is a lot cheaper to implement?
I would say yes. The technology is, well, typically applications drive technology, right? I mean, technology is something specifically in this day and age where customers are looking for, how do I decrease the bottom line?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say customers, I'm talking about the enterprise.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to try to cover all gamuts here. But it is eventually cheaper to certainly have an IP telephony or a voice over IP communications infrastructure than typically a normal TDM-based infrastructure because of management, because of easier what we call moves, as, and changes, or MACs. Okay. From the consumer standpoint, I wouldn't say, I mean, it's cheaper because you can use the Internet to make calls, so those calls would actually be free. You're going to see value add right now from where the providers are going to charge, you know, extra for certain features, trying to emulate the PSTN in that regards. But more advanced features as we see over the next couple of years.
From what you know, does any of the commercial carriers, Sprint,
right,
actually use the Internet that we know for their to transport long distance calls, or is it always their own network?
That would surprise me if Sprint and Bell South and so forth would use the Internet to transport their own calls. I do know that Sprint and Bell South has Nortel Networks type equipment that they've migrated to voice over IP. And I know that they've built their own infrastructure to do that. But from an economies of scale standpoint, for them to do voice over IP is different than the enterprise,
mm-hmm,
because they take all of these physical connections and now they can migrate into one or two. But I know there are some enterprises out there right now that are running voice over IP across the Internet. Absolutely. And you know, they understand the lack of quality service. They are able to get service level agreements from ISPs that's nice, and that's one of once I think that becomes more apparent that the ISPs can step up and say, I can guarantee you certain characteristics for your voice traffic, voice over IP traffic, then you'll see more enterprises do that. Particularly now with VPNs. So not only can you use that public space, which is cheaper, but now it can be encrypted and secure.
I was going to mention the VPN story there, that many companies have started to take advantage of the fact that the Internet is there for their regular data communications, not voice because it's delay sensitive. But as you see companies rebuild their internal infrastructure and add voice over IP to better use their existing network or to enhance their own internal network, once the Internet provides those pipelines that are guaranteed or as close as they can get to guaranteed, you'll see companies jump over to it.
Right.
Start with the branch office because that's where they'll first roll it out. It's the easiest implementation, and then move to a much larger scale.
I mean, I use it at home all the time because we have a corporate VPN. And I'll be honest, I mean, I'm on cable modem, and I'm fortunate to where I'm physically located, there aren't many people on my node. So I can tell when there's more people, there's more traffic, and I can hear pops and clicks, but 99% of the time, the calls are very good. The latency within the Internet, I think, has become much greater, or I mean much less. The quality has become much, much greater over the last year or so. So I think it's just a matter of time before customers start really jumping on that bandwagon.
That's assuming that this whole Internet fad continues to grow.
Right.
I'm not.
Is fad another acronym?
Friendly access device.
Okay. Yeah, very good.
This Internet's a fad. It's like CB radios. It'll be gone in about two more months.
Right.
Give it a couple of months. It's going to go. I'm convinced.
And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850.
The Buzz.
And welcome back to Computers 2K3 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, star at 50 and pound at 50 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. We pay for them. And Jim's been throwing up and down something. But you don't have anything to report today?
Well, I got pieces of paper coming out of everywhere. Here's my favorite story. It's totally not non-technical. I love the story.
Okay,
though.
Where did this come out of? You said you have them come out of everywhere.
I could say it came out of the Ether Network.
Okay.
Burglar falls asleep on the job after sampling liqueurs. a Romanian thief was arrested after he was found asleep in a pub he was burglarizing after he tried some expensive liqueurs. It has nothing to do with computers, but that's a good story.
That stuff is real good.
In case he kept the door.
You wouldn't have found that one without a computer, though.
The internet is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Although it's a fad.
Computer content.
I need a computer content.
No. What is the computer connection there?
On this? That I found on the computer.
Okay.
And that, you know.
All right.
Maybe the bar has a website. Yeah, that could be it.
Maybe.
That could be it. Probably it does.
The bar has a website.
The bar has a website.
Yeah.
Did you know that most virus writers, there's a profile for writing viruses? There actually is. Male, obsessed with computers, lacking a girlfriend, age 14 to 34, capable of sowing worldwide chaos. That's the profile of the average computer virus writer, according to one antivirus executive. I love the lack of girlfriend part. Dude, man, let's go get something to eat. No, man, I'm going to write a virus.
I want to go out to a movie.
No, I'm writing a virus. I'm leaving. Bye. That was my boyfriend-girlfriend argument. About 1,000 viruses are created every month by virus writers increasingly intent on targeting new operating systems, said this guy. So, yeah, they know who these people are.
They do.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
There's a profile. Back to voice over IP.
Why?
Because that's the end of my story. And now for something completely different.
Okay. Completely different.
Voice over IP would be completely different.
Right?
He doesn't want us to say VoIP. I mean, I love saying that word.
Say, you can say it.
I can say it. Maybe you can.
I've been tasked with not saying that.
Okay.
It's a perception thing.
Right.
Well, what's wrong with VoIP?
Hmm.
What does that sound?
It sounds like a new stick to the wall toy that they introduced.
Is that what
it's
that is?
New voice.
Let's see on the window. Oh no, didn't do it.
That was weak.
You know, this is usually things that I do. Throw stuff against the wall, you know. Except I'm sitting over here being quiet.
No,
you're flying through the room here.
Anyway.
We had a webcam.
Okay. All right. Now back to
anywho.
Something completely different.
And now something completely different.
Yeah.
Right.
No, Dan will take you when we come back from a certain break that we're going to take in about 2 minutes. So, I remember back in, I think it was 94.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day?
Back in the day.
Just checking. Ah, the day.
There was a program called iPhone that came out of a company in Israel.
Right.
That you could talk to people, you know, internet phone.
Sure.
And it worked. It really worked. You had the little list of who's online.
Right.
And you call them and some of it was really good. Some of it was very bad. Depends when you're in. And then some companies actually integrated it into PC to phone, where you could dial. I mean, you had to have like a hub in certain cities, and you could make the local calls if you made it to there. Is that when the commercialization of voice over IP? I mean, that's voice over IP.
Yeah, that's absolutely yes. Net2Phone would be another one who's been promoting this type of technology. There are a lot of small companies out there that basically what they do is they basically create software that runs on a PC. And then if you wanted to bring in an adjunct phone, it could be an IP phone, you could do that as well. But, yeah, I would say that that's a good point. Probably since early 95 is when we first started seeing VoIP. I just said it. Voice over IP.
I don't want you to get in trouble.
Okay. When we first started seeing IP telephony from a consumer standpoint take off. And now you see, with the advent of, broadband, it's, I think, going to be a more feasible application over the next couple months.
Those phones, the internet phones are the ones that you're talking about that we've seen that you showed me, right?
Right. The advantage to that phone is the fact that the processing is done in the phone. The fact that I'm talking now and modulating the airwaves, and has to take it and sample it and turn it into a digital pulse to send it across the network. If you do it with it from within the PC, taking a microphone and using the sound card within the PC, you're going to be using up the processor
right.
to do that. But if you do it within the phone, if you make a hardware dedicated phone and a hardware dedicated ASIC, which is the circuit that does it, or the voice processor, it's going to be a lot more efficient. It's going to sound a lot better.
Yeah, you can also, for those of us who don't like the actual phone themselves, or if you just want to integrate the software in a workstation, you can use the USB. If you have a USB ready PC, you know, you'll support USB 1.0 or not 1 or 2.0 functionality. So that bypasses the solid adapter card altogether.
I think we're going to have to break away for something that's happening. War update or whatever? I don't hear anything.
Eddie?
No, I don't think there's anything there. We're supposed to break away to the North Carolina News Network for updates, but I don't think there's anything there. So I don't think she's working. Am I right? Nothing there. Okay, well, oh well. We tried. We tried, mister. I'll leave it on, and we'll see. We're talking about those phones. I'm sorry. The phones that...
Hey, a good example of this is during the war coverage. You're seeing a lot of this video phone.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what technology they're using? To send that stuff across. So I don't know if it's using the internet or satellite.
Well, they're using satellite.
Right.
They're wireless. Whatever.
It's taking that voice and video and putting it into a data format and sending it across those networks. The quality isn't that good because they've got limited bandwidth.
But it's better than nothing.
A lot better than
nothing. Absolutely.
Not bad,
right. Absolutely. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Amnon. I've got a problem with I think it's a four-port hub, HUB hub, that I just bought a couple of weeks ago.
USB, I mean.
Pardon?
What hub? For what?
For USB ports.
Yeah.
I only had two on my computer, and I only needed like three or four.
You're only allowed to have two. Did you pay the license to get more?
Yeah. No, but I think I found out when I tried to put TurboTax on my laptop that they won't let me put it on there unless I buy another one.
Another what?
Another TurboTax for $30 or whatever, $30.
What?
Well, yeah.
So, but what Spence said was a joke.
Pardon?
Spence was joking with you about buying another
Spence
license.
I know he was, but I thought I'd just tell you that I got.
Oh, you got?
Because I was just got into tax time with TurboTax.
Yeah.
And that's when my computer this morning, first time it's ever done it. I have a monitor. It's an IBM monitor, but it's got a push button and turns the LED green when it first comes on. And if the computer is not plugged into it, it'll flash amber.
Right.
I've never, ever seen it in the 5 years I've had it. Never, ever seen it red before until this morning. And so I figured I video card, or of course, that's built into the motherboard. But I figured it had something to do, but I went and got an old a video card and plugged it into the motherboard.
Mm-hmm.
But I had disconnected everything one by one. And finally, the last thing I disconnected was my USB hub.
Yeah.
And when I did that, at the same time I put the video card in, the red light never came on. And I got a picture on my monitor.
Are you saying that if you plug the hub in...
Mm-hmm.
The LED light on the monitor will turn red?
Yes. Well,
and you lose the picture?
Yeah. I do that. I plug that in when I've shut the power off. In fact, I had to pull the plug out of my computer to finally get rid of it. But I don't know if it tells something. If
no,
a
it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't say. It doesn't tell me a thing. I mean, one thing has nothing to do with the other. What happened if so? Are you saying that if the hub is not there, everything works okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the minute you plug it in, you lose the picture.
Well, I don't plug it in while it's hot.
You're supposed to. This is USB. You don't.
You can. You can. You can plug it in.
Okay, I didn't know that.
It's plug and play.
Well, golly, I could plug it in right now and just see if the light turns red.
And well, if we can keep talking to you, then we know everything's working. If you go away.
As long as you keep talking, we know you're okay.
Well, let's see. Let me unplug this one.
Because the USB and the video have nothing, unless something in your... No, it couldn't even be something in your BIOS.
Okay, I'll plug it in and I've still got a picture.
Is that a complaint or is that a good
Ta-da!
Thing?
No, I mean, of course it said, I unplugged the hub. It said U.S. hub limit exceeded.
U.S. hub limit exceeded?
Yes, USB hub current limit exceeded. So, you know, they come with a power supply. They say you might or might not need it.
Oh, it may talk about current. Mm-hmm. I mean,
You can't power
devices
beyond a certain number. It'll draw too much power and it'll
keep
it
warm. But I thought I had my lights are on the hub and I've got the external wall.
Is it plugged in?
Yeah, it's plugged in.
Oh.
Yeah.
You need to call the manufacturer.
Yeah. Well, that light on the, I think what the red light on my monitor, which as I say, I've never seen it in the 4 years I've had it until now, but I think maybe I know if it gets an input from the video card, then it turns green.
Right.
But otherwise, it'll stay amber.
And that tells you that the warranty expired.
Might be some. That's a good one. But I think I thought there might be something that if there's a short. Or
do you have
like
the no? Do you have the manual for the monitor?
Yeah.
Well, look in it and see what it says.
Okay.
Because it must mean something.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I'll do that.
All right.
Okay.
You're probably right, Dan, though, that a red light would probably mean a short or something illegal. But I honestly, if it's hooked up properly, I don't know how you could get that.
Right. There's no way that...
No way. You can't reconfigure the video card to send
it. It went really well. I was looking at it. Of course, we had a power thing in my USB, USP, UPS.
That could be. You could be... Your monitor's probably not on the... Is your monitor on the US?
No,
UPS?
The monitor is not on the.
That's what it was. You had a power fault. That's what created the red light.
Yeah. Was it UPS or FedEx? Because it depends on who can get there faster overnight. That might have something to do with it. Was the USB hub delivered by FedEx?
Go for your party mail.
I never have seen that red light.
I don't have any picture. Can you press the button on the monitor? I can't see. It's dark. We don't have electricity.
Except for this little red light.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so the phone, your brake isn't the only thing that's not working this morning.
I think we took a shot.
The comedy's not working either.
Thanks, guys. I was panicky about not doing my taxes, not saving all that
stuff. Well, go back to doing the taxes.
Taxes are highly overrated. I wouldn't worry about them.
Take care, Dan.
Keep up the good work.
You too.
Bye.
And thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, *50 and #50 on your cell phone. Free calls. I love that.
Doing his taxes. Please. Yeah. It's not even April yet. Come on. And then we got 2 weeks in April.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's right.
Anyway, we're talking with Rick Bartosik.
Very good.
Yeah. From Nortel. We're talking about voice over IP.
VoIP.
VoIP.
Internet telephony. What other words?
IP telephony.
IP telephony.
Telephony over IP. Voice over IP. VoIP.
All kind
lots of
things.
Just talk over the internet. Packet telephony.
So, you could have, like what you're talking about, the internet phones.
Mm-hmm.
I could have one.
Sure.
Connected to my internet
broadband connection, right?
And you have one.
Mm-hmm.
And if I know your IP number,
right,
I can actually dial you and talk to you.
Or maybe domain name. right? That'll
well,
work as well.
Let's say that you don't know. People at home don't have domain names.
Well,
you know, they are on AOL.
Names. Right, okay.
But everybody can just go and do a WinIPCFG, what is it? Yeah, and figure out what their IP is. And
right.
Call you on the phone and give it to you, and then you turn back and call them on the other
we
phone.
We used to do that's that right. with NetMeeting.
Yeah, I mean,
you want to call somebody else,
true,
just
right?
Give me your IP and I'll
start
up a NetMeeting session or an IQ.
Right, NetMeeting has been around. Well, that, you know, is bundled with Microsoft, so.
Yeah, it's been since 95.
Since 95, right.
Yeah.
And that's gotten better as well because the technology of codecs, which is, or DSPs, digital signal processors, like Spence said, ASICs that are within the phone that do the processing. Those types of features that are now within software are much better and much cheaper. So NetMeeting used to be a poor man's way of communicating, and where you had, you know, maybe chat lists and so forth, but the quality was just horrendous. But now it's gotten a lot better because they're not just using smaller codecs; they're using much bigger codecs.
It's getting to the point where it's business quality.
Yeah, it's getting close, very close.
We're using. Should talk a little bit about the new stuff that's coming out
when we come back.
Okay.
And we'll take your calls, too, when we come back right here on Sports Radio at 50.
The Buzz.
Thanks.
Welcome back to Computers 2K3 on Sports Radio at 50. The Buzz. Our number is 860-050, *50, and #50 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. I don't think we're going to have many calls today. It's too nice outside. People are outside. That's where I would be if I was home.
It is a pretty day outside.
It's beautiful.
They can bring the radio outside with them and use a cell phone. See, now they
that's
have no excuse.
Right, because it's free calls.
That's right.
Very good.
Use that
*50 or #50.
Battery-powered laptop sitting out in the backyard.
Yep.
You know, fire up the cell phone and call us.
Yeah, right. But what somebody does. What do you mean you're right? That's what I'm doing.
I'm sitting out here doing my taxes. What are you doing, Simon?
I'm just cutting my grass. I'm riding around, and I'm working on the computer.
That could work. That could work.
Yeah. Seeding. Fertilizing.
Hi, thanks for calling Agriculture 2000. We'll be taking calls this afternoon. Huh? You got a gardening problem? Got a pruning problem? We'd be happy to have to take your call. We've got experts here ready to start helping you sod that yard, cut those bushes, and seed that yard. Come on, call us right now. We'll help you fertilize.
Somebody called Jim back.
You know,
anyway,
you know what the number one search term on the internet this week has been?
Take a guess.
Iraq.
No, close. War.
War.
War has been the it has toppled sex as the most popular search term among web users. Because you know, I find the stories.
Temporarily.
I find the stories. The conflict in Iraq, it appears the tension, it captured the attention of actually, I didn't read this part. I just got this part of the story.
Can you read this over there?
Of course, I read it like this. The war has toppled sex as the most popular search term among web users as the conflict in Iraq captures the attention and apparently lowers the libidos of online Britons. This is a UK story. A top internet service provider says. So, you know, war's got their attention. Iraq, I like this. Iraq knocked female country group Dixie Chicks out of the top spot among Yahoo's Buzz Index. Dixie Chicks, out!
Out!
In! Iraq's in. It's hot. Iraq's very hot these days.
It's very hot.
Parts of it are very hot.
Yep.
The desert is what I'm thinking.
You're toasty.
Let's see. Sue, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine.
I'm not yet on the golf course, but I want to get this done and then get to the golf course.
Okay.
Okay. I want to install Point and Speak.
Point and Speak.
If that headset you put on and then you can talk and you're, like, if we're going to be doing a lot of online chatting. We've got a group going to Scotland and they're young kids.
Okay.
And it seems like it'll be easier to point and speak and get more information to them than my slow hunt and peck typing. But the program says that if I'm running an antivirus and I have an antivirus running, it says to shut it down to install the program.
Okay.
How do I shut down my antivirus?
Which one?
I've got EasyTrust.
Then just what happens if you right-click on the icon?
Okay, if I right-click on the icon, it comes up and it says, like, oh, wait a minute.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Okay, shh, keep it down. You'll wake the neighbors.
No, my husband. No. Okay, it gives me, like, disable real time.
Yeah, that's the one.
Just punch, just click on disable real time.
Yeah.
Very good. You're so good. Thank you.
Is the software you bought that just
have blessing.
Does it have the Scottish translation package built in?
No, it doesn't have the Scottish translation.
Oh, that's going to be a problem with the accents. You're going to have a hard time understanding.
These are our kids going into there.
Oh.
Well, yeah, but it won't take them long to pick up the lingo.
No, it won't. Well, hopefully they're going to be on the golf courses and they'll pick it up quickly.
All right, Sue.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Take care. 860-050, star 50 and pound 50 on your cell phone, and
my daughter's message on her cell phone when you get her voicemail says, it's got Mike Myers saying, welcome to the Scottish fight. If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
And on that note, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Computers 2K3 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, star 50 and pound 50 on your cell phone. And these cell phone calls are free. So if you're in the yard with your laptop,
mowing the grass,
and a long extension cord even, yeah.
You're out there, you know, gardening, mowing, fertilizing.
Yeah, moaning. Dad, I don't want to mow the lawn.
You're going to mow the lawn. Kid, I used to do it when I was your age. You're going to mow the lawn.
We're talking about voice over IP. Oh, we're trying to anyway.
Sorry.
This show is actually brought to you using voice over IP. No, we can't say that.
So how do you figure?
I don't know. I'm
you're stretching. You're stretching.
I'm sorry. Stretching. I'm big time.
Big time.
Big time.
You're trying to sound technical. It's not working. Let's let our voice over IP expert, Rick.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
We'll so, when do you see this getting into homes? As a not as a toy, but as a everyday
real-time,
tool?
That's real-time communications tool?
Is what it is? Yeah.
Well, I would say in the next couple years, because what's going to happen with the advent of technology and interoperability and open protocols, you're gonna be able to have an environment where I can go to Radio Shack and buy a phone of my choice, and that phone could be used where I work, and it could be used at home as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now with Windows 2000 and Windows XP, Microsoft has bundled a protocol called SIP, Session Initiation Protocol, which is another way of communicating voice over IP as well as multimedia, not just voice, and that's something that's right now within the protocol stack, so you can actually use that type of function. And I know lots of people are doing that, and what they're doing is they're just firing off the SIP client, and they're able to go to a service provider that provides them with what they call a proxy server and registration server, and they're on their way, very inexpensive. As broadband moves forward with DSL, you'll see more of this as well. But I would say in the next 2 years, you'll see a pretty good ramp up of voice over IP at the home. And the main thing is it's got to be transparent to the end user, right? They have to be able to get dial tone all the time. They have to be able to have crisp, good quality sounding calls, as well as new applications coming out too. So it's just not about the technology. It's got to be about something moving, you know, what drives into the technology. It's got to be an application.
And the convenience too, because sure. Some of the laws have changed. We've all heard about how you'll be able to keep your cell phone number, for example.
Right.
Whereas
so you don't have to keep your IP number.
You will be able to have a portable number
right.
that will go with you from your mobile phone, transition to an IP phone in a work environment,
sure.
transitioning to an IP phone at a home environment, or an IP phone at an airport.
Right. I mean, look at wireless, 3G wireless. The 3G consortium has standardized on SIP as a data protocol. So when you go out and buy your cell phone, that cell phone is actually IP enabled SIP running across 3G function. That's really important. So now where you can, you know, you see all these commercials where you can take your phone and make a, you know, click on it, send a picture,
uh-huh.
whatever good that does. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, that's probably another,
and it
another story.
That fast,
right, no. But, I mean, that's really where we're going with technology is just handhelds.
Mm-hmm.
Enterprises right now are looking at this as being huge. I mean, they want to build out wireless infrastructures and universities. Really big.
Portable numbers. I remember this was like late 80s. No, mid 70s, late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I did some work with interconnecting, and a lot of people really thought, you know, people called because they knew that I was in telephones. Well, I've got a phone from my father. Can I put it in the bedroom? I said, yes, but it has a different number on it.
Right. Oh, well then.
You know.
So what happened?
So what happened? You know, we're talking rotary phone.
Right.
It's just amazing how you think, you know.
Sure.
But this will be,
oh yes,
something, you know, this for real, you know, you're going to have to be, you're going to be able to have your own IP number, which,
right,
which you'll have your own domain in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that'll work. Does that mean bye-bye Bell South somehow?
Well, that means that Bell South's going
to be... Only if they're stupid.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
if
they continue, you know, I wouldn't say continually. It just means they've got to be creative.
Right.
Right. Just like all of the... I mean, the technology is great for us because we get some new things to use,
uh-huh,
and become more productive. But what it does is it forces the, you know, the incumbent Lex to be very proactive.
And they should.
And they are. I think they're doing a better job of that right now, particularly from the standpoint of just offering, you know, advanced services at a cheaper price. Obviously, as this technology comes to fruition, you're going to see more competitors come in, which is good for us because that drives down cost. So it's just a matter of time.
We were talking the other day, how much bandwidth does it take to talk over IP?
Depends on what, how much time do we have? Okay, no.
No, really, I mean, what's the minimum?
Let's say
the
depends on if you use big words or not.
I would
if you
say
use big words, you need more bandwidth.
I would say the minimum, let's use NetMeeting as an example.
Okay.
Okay, because you're going to use a minimum amount of bandwidth of NetMeeting because it uses a codec that uses that actually compresses calls down to 5.3K or 6.3K.
Okay.
All right, now, when we talk, we're using 64K. 64 kilobits per second, which is what we call a DS0, okay, a fraction of a T1, so to speak. So the technology is nice because you can compress calls, so you're saving bandwidth. But when
right.
you look at, if you're using NetMeeting on an Ethernet network, then you have to think of IP header
uh-huh.
information. So really, if you're using that kind of compression, you're talking about probably 12 to 13 kilobits
okay.
per second worth of bandwidth. Now,
okay.
in a normal environment, when I've got my IP phone where I am, typically, because I have more bandwidth in the campus, I'm using no compression, so I'm using G711. At that rate, I'm using actually more bandwidth, 82 or 83 kilobits per second, and it's full duplex now, remember, so it's 83 one way and 83 the other way.
So that's 170
half duplex, right. So if you're building out networks, you have to certainly think about that. But you can get creative.
I was just wondering if dial-up is going to be able to...
Dial-up will be able
use.
To, yes.
And
so absolutely, dial
we'll,
up.
We'll talk about it some more when we
okay,
get back.
Good.
And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 50, The Buzz. Hey, 50, The Buzz. Good morning again, everybody. Second hour. You are tuned to Computers 2K3 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host for the next hour now, along with J Duff.
Who?
Jim Duff.
J Duff. Like J Dog Weather.
Yeah, okay, we'll take your call.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning. And Spencer.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Rick Bartosik.
Good morning.
With us too. And of course, our producer, screener, weather person, make it all
extraordinaire
here. Yeah, extraordinaire.
Absolutely.
Is here with us.
Hey.
Hey,
do we
have a war update?
Weather-wise, yeah, I'm sure we do. Hang
we
on.
Do?
Well, I can give you kind of the latest headlines, war-wise.
You don't have to do that.
No?
No.
Okay.
I guess he said we don't do it on Sunday?
Well, I think we're supposed to. It's just
okay.
They didn't have it on there.
Oh.
So, but the biggest headlines this morning are basically there's a search underway for a possible down coalition pilot, but no one really knows if
it's for real.
Is a British pilot if it's for real. So the Iraqis.
The last thing I heard before I left is that somebody, one of the commentators, was saying that what we're looking at is a stage affair for the media.
Yeah.
Because suddenly you have all the cameras there and everything, so
yeah.
It's not for real. So I don't know.
So no one knows if a plane went down or no. The coalition doesn't have any information on a plane going down, so no one's really sure. There was an explosion outside the gates of the U.S. Central Command in Qatar. No one exactly knows what was
right.
going on there, so but that didn't seem to cause any problems. And Iraq says that they have his country's holding a couple of prisoners of war and will prove it soon. But again, there's no
right.
no idea.
They also said they would execute them on television, which is
they did.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, this is Mike Moss in the Weather Center with the early morning regional update. We'll start with Zone 1 North, version 1, in 3, 2.
Okay.
Hey, I thought we were going to weather.
Yeah.
Hey.
Something worked.
I think someone's going to hold in on Janet's weather.
All right.
Who's got the transmitter outside? Let's take him out.
Anyway.
But so those are kind of the major headlines. There was a British plane went down over Kuwait, which I'm not exactly sure why that happened. I think it may have been a Patriot missile that engaged it for some reason.
Yeah, they say that we have more losses due to accidents.
Yeah. And the other thing, no real new updates on the thing that happened at Camp Pennsylvania last night, but there is the one U.S. soldier who's still being held and questioned. In regard to that. So those are kind of the major headlines right now. Anyway.
And it's nice outside.
It is. It's going to be nice today. Highs in the upper 60s, partly cloudy. It'll get a little bit more cloudy this afternoon, but it should be nice. It's going to be great into the week. Highs in the upper 60s tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, and then mostly sunny on Tuesday with highs in the mid-70s.
Uh-huh.
So spring is springing.
Has sprung.
It may have sprunged.
Sprunged.
Yeah, exactly. So right now it's sunny and 50 degrees, so anyone who's take your radio outside, get outside, stretch the legs out.
Call us.
Breath. Yeah, call us from outside.
With a cell phone.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool.
Thank you very much.
I'll be here all day.
Okay. Our number is 860-0850, star at 50, and pound at 50 on your cell phone. Three calls. I mean, to just reflect a little bit about all this war situation. I mean, it's really kind of, I don't want to say funny, but it's eerie and sad. Yesterday, they were asking questions over, I think it was at the Pentagon, and one of the guys said, so when the show is over, and she stopped him right and she said, this is not a show. You know, we're talking about the shock and awe and all that. And I think it was Thursday or Friday, we were sitting, Kathy and me, in the living room on lounge chairs and watching. And they were talking about when this shock and awe is going to come on and it's going to be something like you've never seen before. And I said, boy, look at us sitting here. And it's like we're waiting for a fireworks show, you know, for something, entertainment. And, you know, this is what it seems like it is. I mean,
yep.
It's
a show.
Oh.
It's a media event.
It is.
Right.
It is.
And if they had voice over IP over there, man, they'd really know what they're doing.
Oh, I'll tell you what, this would be over.
I know. I mean, you're sitting there and you listening and you watching and you hear some of those questions and some of the answers and you say, you shouldn't have said that. I mean, it's going to come out later on.
I was just watching press conferences. It's like, well, where are the troop movements going to be? Get out of here.
Yeah,
we're not going to tell you that. No.
A grenade was thrown yesterday. Really? This is a war and they threw a grenade. I don't believe it.
Oh, who did that? Someone get his number.
Get their name and number.
It is. But, I mean, I'm still saying it's going to be over real fast.
I was down in Florida visiting relatives and talking to my aunt and uncle, and they were saying, you know, we really don't want to see up-to-the-minute, real-time
right.
reporting.
Right.
We'd rather just, I mean, they lived through World War II and remember what it was like to get daily reports. They said that was about all they could handle. To see it real-time, we've lost one person, and
right.
then drill into that loss, while it's tragic. That it does not serve the public well to have that kind of reporting.
The majority of the public is getting, what's the word,
desensitized.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You become numb to it to the point
yeah.
where
it doesn't mean anything. Oh, well.
Right.
Oh, yeah. don't know. Anyway, back to computers here. Jim, good morning.
Hi, is this Sam Nunn?
Yeah.
Wanted to add some interactivity to my website. I know some HTML, but I don't know any programming. I've seen on the web some Perl script programs that I could buy, or some are freeware.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you had any recommendations on whether I should even be attempting that, or
first of all, it depends who your ISP is. If they allow you to run Perl scripts, that's one. Second is how much room you have on your website.
Right.
Perl works great for web applications, yeah.
And do you have any programs that you could recommend? I mean, if I'm looking for a program that will write, that basically will have a pre-canned script that I can use. I've just seen these programs that sell for, you know.
No, but you have to understand. I mean, this is like somebody buying a computer and saying, do you have any programs that you can recommend I'll get? What do you want to do?
Well, I mean, most of these are specifically for, like, email response. I mean, so, they advertise themselves as easy to use.
Mail responders.
Mail responders, yes.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know if I can trust those ads.
We don't use them. I don't think I have anybody that uses them. And so I couldn't, no, I couldn't recommend any that I know of.
Okay. So
why do you need them? I mean, is this just for the sake of adding some interactivity, you're going to create a situation where you're using more bandwidth?
Well, not just for the sake. It's information that I need to gather.
Oh, okay.
To make the website functional.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's I've never heard about a script that will actually do the job the way you want it.
So it's a custom.
You can buy the script, but then you have to have somebody modify it to do exactly what you want it to do. If you need somebody, do you have somebody that does?
No, I'm really just, at this point, I'm just trying to, I've done all my own HTML work, but
let me tell you this. Go to www.logicetc.com and get in touch with Ron.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around what's involved in this task right now, and it looks like quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure.
Bye.
Good luck, Jim. 860-0850, *50 and #50 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. What, a whole Air Force is being built over there?
I'm not sure what he's building.
Those are a recon.
Yeah. I'm building a R-71 Predator. It'll be flying over.
Spence is building a stealth.
I think he is.
Of course, you can't see it, but
that's what I'm doing.
I've got an invisible piece of paper I'm building and stuff. But, and this is going to be a stealth fighter. Hold on, it's a large scale B-2 bomber. I'm sorry. It's heavier than I thought it was going to be. That's what it turned out to be.
860-0850 *50 and #50 on your cell phone. So let's go back and talk. So you're going to see, you think a few years,
yep,
we're all going to have internet or IP telephones,
IP ready phones. Potentially, sure. It necessarily doesn't have to be a hard phone. It could be software on the workstation. Just depends on how technology savvy
we have those
is.
Today.
Sure.
I'm talking about that. Just the really the phone.
The real phone, right.
As a device.
As a device.
Consumable.
I think what you'll see more, you'll see that certainly when I say hard phone, I'm talking about a physical phone,
uh-huh,
right? Not software, but. You'll see that, and you'll also see the handhelds,
mm-hmm,
because most handhelds now certainly have the capability to run converged communications, and
a magnifying glass.
Right. There are protocols out there today that are HTML-like from a communication standpoint, but certainly are formatted for PDA access,
mm-hmm,
so they're a little more not as aesthetically pleasing from a 16 or a 17-inch monitor. But I know that we do have, for instance, with Nortel, we've got applications that run on PDAs that are that provide very good quality voice.
And functional.
And functional, very functional, yes. And I think that's really where probably majority, if not most all, of the communication will happen, is that you know, being able, it is going to be your cell phone, or your cell phone could be your PDA communication device, but you've got it at home, you can communicate, you can go into work and use the same type of technology and communicate, so it's that roaming, it's that always-on access, right? And that's going to be important.
A leash.
A leash. Well, yeah. You said
we know who you are, and we saw what you did.
Yeah.
And we have your IP address as well.
Because they have a cameras on it, too.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Soon enough, it's going to be a cam.
It'll just turn around on you. Hey, look, here you are. We know where you are.
But I think that, you know, voice over IP is an exciting technology, but it also opens up with new communications paradigms like instant messaging, and it allows, and when I say paradigms, I'm really talking about using this protocol called SIP, Session Initiation Protocol, and like I said, it comes on any workstation right now that's Windows compliant, right? And this protocol will allow you to negotiate communications between endpoints, and then what it does is it basically says, if I've got a cell phone talking to a workstation, you know, soft client, we can only do voice. But if I have two workstations talking, maybe we can do certainly voice, video, and text chat. So it's dynamic enough in that it negotiates how these two devices can communicate, and really brings in a whole new way of communicating now. So, for instance, when I'm at work, if I want to call somebody, I'll text chat them to see if they're there. If they respond, great, then we'll pull up a multimedia session. And that's all voice over IP, also multimedia and data, and that's what that protocol allows you to do. And that's really the first time we've really had true open-based communications using IP, voice over IP, that is.
VoIP, it's not just voice over IP.
It's not just for breakfast anymore either.
No.
VoIP can stand for video over IP.
It's what's for dinner.
Okay, Kramer.
I remember hearing from someone down in Atlanta who got a bundled package when they got their cable modem. They got free telephone service for 1 year when they signed up. That's using voice over IP technology.
Right.
Very targeted sense.
Right.
But that type of bundling of services will be what brings it forward. You won't just get the phone for the sake of getting the phone. You get the phone because of what you can do with it. The applications are going to drive
That's what broadband companies should have done.
Absolutely.
They should have been looking towards that instead of, and now they're reeling with the fact that we're losing all this long-distance business. How can we reinvent ourselves as a bundled, I mean, that's what Bell South sings all about now, it's bundled services. I get internet access, I get voicemail, I get my email, I get my web page, all those as part of a package suitable for residential use. And this will be just another application, a very exciting application that I can bring forward. Say, they have Follow Me Roaming today, but it involves old-style telephone switching, where you've got one, your system is calling another number, looking for you there, and using other technologies. This will be so portable.
And I really don't see the carriers... The big carriers doing this. They still don't do it. And you know how the little companies are coming up? What do they do? Why do people buy it from smaller licks?
Right.
Because they bundle.
Right.
You get internet, then you have your, you know, that it's no big deal to do, but they're doing it.
All right. If I had a choice of paying somebody one access charge a month for all that service, I would do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And most people would.
Right.
This is what I love about being able to switch from Time Warner to Earthlink for Roadrunner. You still get the bill from one place.
Right.
From, it's amazing.
Bills? What's all of those things that I throw away?
Acronym?
Yeah, Bill.
those things your wife is always screaming at you about.
Hey, the mouth! And your calls are coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 850,
The Buzz.
Welcome back to Computers 2K3 on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Our number is 800-0850, star at 50 and pound at 50 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. And taking advantage of our offer is Terry. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
I'm trying to figure out whether I can buy some of these new storage devices that are out there. and hook them up via USB to my to my existing computer.
Right.
I got a digital camera and started taking pictures like crazy and have a lot of them. And the ones I want to save are just too big for the storage media I've been using.
Why? What? Well, then you're doing something wrong, first of all.
Well, I've been on vacation a couple times and taken a number of pictures like the Grand Canyon and places like that, so I have quite a few that I want to save.
Oh, okay. So we're not talking about...
And my media was a floppy disk, so...
Okay.
So that's where I am.
Why do you want to do it USB?
Well...
Just because you want to take it from one place to another, I guess.
Yep. Yep, and my computer, the computers I have and that, my family have a USB connection.
Okay, so, Spence, was it a 20 gig USB drive? What was it?
Oh, you get an external, I got a 20 gig external USB drive that plugs into, you pick up power from the keyboard connector and you pick up a USB connection and it just appears as another hard disk. And you're able to drag
where
and
drop. Where did you buy it?
Oh, I got it at CompUSA. That's where I bought the enclosure.
And I've seen all those ads all over the place. But the question that I have relating to that is most of the computers I have either run Windows 98 or something like that, and they have the original USB format, which I think is called 1.0 or 1.1.
Right. Just check to see that it's backwardly compatible at 1.1. And now, you can buy one. It just won't the retrieval speed will be lower.
Yep.
It'll still work. Because that's what I'm doing.
And speed is not a problem. It's the compatibility. And I go to the stores and I talk to the people, and they basically look at me like I have two heads. No, this is the only USB there is, and blah, blah, blah.
You can't talk to people at CompUSA, I don't think.
That's what I'm calling you guys.
You need to pick up the box and read on it.
Okay, I've done that. And the one I looked at, or the ones I've looked at in a couple cases, I didn't get a comfortable feeling that, although it looked like it might have, I just wasn't comfortable with it.
If you look at the box and then look at the requirements, usually it's a small print on the box, it'll tell you minimum requirements for connectivity. And if it says backwardly compatible to USB 1.1, it will work with Windows 98.
Okay, so that's what I have to look for. That's why I called you guys to make sure I got the
It's essentially the signaling on the wire is the same. It's just the overall speed.
Yep.
And 2.0 works real nice. I've got one card in a machine at home that runs 2.0 that I can get something like 30 meg worth of
bandwidth. Yeah, but that will not work with 98.
Well,
98
that's
true. Will not support it.
It will support 1.1.
Right.
But, yes, you'll be able to do it. And another thing, how much memory are you looking to have?
Oh, 20, 40 gig.
Okay. There's something to make just an intriguing idea I've seen out there is you can buy one of these 128 meg memory stick, USB memory sticks. If you want to take pictures with you, they're also backwardly compatible to 1.1 and say, oh, I want to show you my vacation pictures. You just have it on your keychain.
I had one when they first came out at 8 meg and put my Quicken stuff on there and a few other financial data. So, but that's a great idea because the price is really low on those.
The price has plummeted,
So, all right, backwards compatible is what I need to look for.
Yeah, to 1.1.
To 1.1. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Drive carefully.
I got out of the car. I'm in Wellington now.
Okay.
Oh, us guys are tough in the morning.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. 860-0850, star at 50 and pound at 50 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. Did you say it was in Wilmington?
Wilmington.
We didn't have him online that long.
He's in Wilmington picking up the signal in Wilmington?
On the phone.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Okay.
That's what I was saying. We're not keeping him. We didn't keep him online. That
transmitter is pretty big, but it's not that big.
No, it's big. Not that strong.
It's not that strong. Hi, I'm calling from Boynton Beach, Florida. I'd like to ask you a computer question. How the heck did you get in here?
Anyway, let's get back to VoIP.
Why are you shaking your head?
Voice over IP, okay?
Better.
So,
Maybe we should have an infomercial on TV at night. We could
VoIP?
Talk about VoIP.
Get your VoIP.
And if you act now...
Get your wipe here!
Wait. If you act now, you'll also get... What can we throw in with it there?
A zoip!
I said a Gensu steak knife. $19.99 and a vegetable steamer.
Northdale is obviously on the forefront.
Right.
On the bleeding edge.
Bleeding edge.
Any of these products actually available now? Or is it still just in development?
It's you know I think it depends on where you live. I do know that Nortel right now, if you think about the public switch telephone network, like we said earlier, obviously 100% of that is analog or digital to the consumer, but in the PSTN space it's typically packetized. So Nortel has taken their, like for instance Bell South and Sprint, they have Nortel carrier class switches that handle millions of lines of connections. And what they've done is they've IP enabled those switches, and that allows them now to deliver IP telephony to the end user, what we call Centrix IP. So I don't know if it's available right now, but I do know, I would say probably within 6 to 8 to 10 months, you're going to be able to use an IP set and get dial tone, quote unquote, across IP from a Nortel carrier based solution.
All right.
So it's not just a CPE enterprise product. It's a consumer product, and it will be moving forward.
How about for offices now to use internally and to get out?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's...
You're talking about 10 months, 8 months. Is something available now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I'm the consumer and I wanted voice over IP, I can go to Net2Phone and get something like that, or I can, you know, maybe pursue Nortel's Avenue where I have an IP phone and get dial tone from the provider. From a business perspective, an enterprise perspective, certainly Nortel has small, what we call all-in-one systems that allow you to connect IP and digital and analog phones in a campus or like a small business branch office unit that gives you voicemail and all these features and allows you to communicate back out to the PSTN or to the IP network using VPN technologies.
So if you have a bunch of offices all over,
sure,
that's a good way to go because
absolutely,
most of your long distance is going
well,
to be...
Well, you know what? It's interesting because, like I said, applications typically drive technology, yeah, and packetizing voice has been around for some time, and the initial application was to replace tie lines,
right,
long distance toll bypass, like you just said. Since 1996 with the Telecommunications Act, that's driven, well, that's for us, it's good because it's increased competition, but now that decreases price. So now there has to be new technology or reason to do VoIP. Internationally, toll bypass makes a lot of sense because of the tariffs still on long distance phone calls with the PTT. But what we see now is that, you know, enterprises are looking at other ways of driving down their total cost of ownership, and typically that's with IP phones because it eventually will be cheaper. They already have the local area network built. Certainly there are some technologies they have to think of, like quality service, but to be able to take the phone and with DHCP, for instance, move the phone anywhere in the network and get dial tone, that's pretty attractive.
Okay, so I'm listening now, and I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get in touch with Nortel to say, hey, I'd like for one somebody to come in and show me this?
Well, we've got Nortel. Nortel is...
So they just opened the yellow pages?
We're everywhere. I don't know. I guess we're in this yellow pages fence, but we have a local sales team here in Raleigh.
Okay, so...
Probably the best way is to go to the website,
yeah,
and just say, contact us, and you'll list all the local branch offices you can call.
Right.
There's an 800 number that they'll tell you where the branch is,
okay,
so you can find through the location.
Absolutely.
And then have... a local person. Plus, there's a lot of partners out there that sell Nortel.
Right.
And I mean, I'm really the reason why I'm sold on it without seeing something like this is Nortel is first and foremost telephone.
Right.
And then add all this on top of it, they should really know what they're doing.
Right.
That's a really good point because the Nortel grew up as a telephone company.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That has embraced data.
Exactly.
Whereas right, some other companies are data companies that have embraced telephony.
And telephony is a whole lot harder.
The attitude about the quality and all that are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Nortel has that toll quality idea embedded in all its products.
Mm-hmm. And Nortel just isn't, I mean, Nortel's wireless too. I mean, we manufacture 3G wireless, you know, equipment. So
right,
it's not just, I mean, it's just like I said, we're everywhere.
Let's see. Steve, good morning.
Hey.
Hey.
I used a Nortel VoIP thing that they had a couple of years ago on the website that was very interesting. You put in a couple of phone numbers and click enter, and it would connect the two numbers, which was funny because you could connect a couple of friends together, and neither one of them knew who was calling whom. But
that's a feature.
But in terms of using VoIP from home, if you wanted to be able to call just any average person with just an average telephone, there's got to be a gateway or some sort of thing between the IP and the PSTN on the other end.
That's right.
Well, so there's companies in business for providing that, like Vonage. Mm-hmm. But is there anybody local that an average home user could?
That's a good question. Worldwide Packets, I know that they are a Southeastern company, but I know that they have an office. I'm pretty sure they have an office in Raleigh or Atlanta at least. But Worldwide Packets is one of those companies that provides IP to TDM gateways, small, and these gateways would actually reside typically at the customer prem at the house, depending on how many systems they have or communication devices they have, or it would reside at the actual DMARC of the neighborhood. I would give them a call, and I know that they do primarily last mile access. So Worldwide Packets is the first one I could think of.
Okay, so that sounds like it would work if somebody's calling me, but if I want to make the calls out to other parts of the country.
It's a two-way. I mean, it's a gateway.
I have broadband.
Right.
So I can use that to place the call or to receive it if somebody wants to call me on with some VoIP number. But I don't know how to
call somebody out to their telephone, not to their. Well,
keep in mind,
internet.
Voice over IP implies that there are other services besides the connection between the two endpoints. There has to be some type of infrastructure that handles the translation of IP addresses to telephone numbers.
Right. So if I were to call a friend in Houston, it would be IP all the way to Houston, and then it would go into a box next to the telephone switch, at the central office, and would be converted to an analog signal there.
Good. That's one way of doing it. Sure. Absolutely.
I see where you're going with this. It's the thing is that as a service, there is no one single provider that has stepped forward yet to say that we will be the gateway
for
everybody, all IP services.
I wouldn't say that's the inherent problem, but the good thing about IP is that it's open. And so these providers, when they provide access, they should be able to interoperate, right? Because you're not going to have one provider doing everything. That would be a monopoly.
Do they have like airlines have these code sharing agreements? Do these VoIP gateway companies have something like that so they can route each other's calls?
Jim, do you have your crystal ball?
Yeah.
Come on, Steve.
Let me put it a different way.
Let's peer into the future.
I found one of these telephone calling cards. That's under 2 cents a minute long distance.
Right.
So I give this to my friend in Houston, and he calls me, and it shows up as a local Raleigh telephone call.
Right.
Which tells me that it's VoIP to Raleigh.
Maybe.
When I call, somebody else, it shows up as
a... That's why it's 2 cents a minute.
Right.
You would pay more to have, if you want to have end-to-end services, then you've got to, that's where the cost starts to come in.
Calling line ID and calling party number display and those things are services we take for granted in the quote-unquote enterprise, but, and typically at home as well now, right? But you're right. I mean, if 2 cents a minute, you pretty much get what you paid for, but
it's good quality, no problem with that.
Yeah, the quality's not bad.
It implies that this analog
Wait a second, Steve. Do you have any problems with any of these features?
No.
So why did you call?
Except that I want to get away from using the calling cards since I've got broadband anyway.
I want
to place the calls. The infrastructure must be out there. I just don't know how to access it.
Right. Here's a suggestion. IT or IP Telephony Magazine, itmag.com, is probably the best source of information you're going to find on not just voice over IP in general, but particularly customer or consumer-based voice over IP. I would go there because I know that they have the first 10 or 12 pages is nothing but new products coming out, and half those products are typically consumer-based.
IT?
IT, MAG.
Internet technology.
Internet technology.
Information technology.
Right.
Okay.
Mag.com. Go there, and that's a wealth of information. You might want to also try BCR.com. Business Communication Review does any trade rag that's part of communications is going to talk about voice over IP in some form or fashion right now, and they're very good as well. So I would look at those two sources.
Uh-huh. Okay. And do you have any opinion on Vonage? Are they, you know, like looking to become the major player or anything? Do you have any?
Well, I think they're certainly they're a step above everybody else. But you've had companies like Vonage and like Sonos is another company that plays somewhat in this space, and once again, worldwide packets. So until there is an underlying reason to do voice over IP, and typically that means bundled services, you really won't see this technology take off until that happens.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, Steve.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling. And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K3 on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, *50, and #50 on your cell phone. Free calls. We have all the newest transports, airplanes, all kinds of different...
We're designing new modes of transportation as we speak.
Very, very interesting. Yeah. It's too bad there's no cam in here.
Spencer has origami talents.
Very fuel efficient.
Or what?
Origami. It's origami.
Look at that.
Speaking of webcam.
Yeah.
Are we going to put one of those in here? Sooner or later?
It's gone.
I can bring one and put it here.
Yeah, so they can look at you?
No, I can just, I don't know.
I'd have them looking at you because you are.
I can just put it center, here. I mean, I don't know where to connect it to, but I can put
the pinnacle of the show.
860.
It's not bad. It's taken us an hour and 45 minutes to incorporate Beavis and Butthead. That's not bad. Not bad.
He said Butthead.
860-0850, *50, and #50 on your cell phone. So if I have a phone, an internet, an IP phone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Ethernet. Is that Ethernet?
Ethernet, sure.
And I want to call somebody, I mean, just to make a long distance call.
Right.
And when you try to dial with it, does it try to go internet first, and then if it can't find the route, it will?
Well, that.
Or do you have to tell it how to do it?
Yeah. So treat the IP phone as an extension of your communication system. Like,
right.
So if I have let's say I've got a PBX or something of that nature, right? And I've got an IP phone that talks to that system. Really, the way that happens is the system is programmed for, like, access code. So you dial 9 for local, 6 for long distance, whatever. And that's all you really have to do from the standpoint of dial plan for the phone. So when the phone goes off hook and gets dial tone and hits 9, he might get a fast busy because maybe there are no circuits available. It's rare that you would have an IP phone that would have another way to communicate other than IP.
Okay.
Right, so there are some what we call branch office solutions that do that, where you've got IP as your primary communications, and you've got devices hanging off that could be analog or digital phones, and then those calls are routed across a PSTN if that connection
is. Is that what
those
boxes?
Yeah, the BCM, Business Communication Manager, absolutely, absolutely, and that provides. It's a communication system. You're just using a different transport, so that the challenge is really is your Ethernet network up to speed to transport this type of real-time data.
You could use that connection as your primary connection. Say you were talking between two branches and you want to save on those toll charges. It might be in a different city. Or you might want to get your dial tone from a remote city.
Right.
Say you call a lot to your supplier on the West Coast, but you don't want to make a long-distance call. Mm-hmm. You could have an office on the East Coast, an office on the West Coast, have an IP trunk that carries those calls, and then the call is placed as a local call at the far side to save money. But if you say you have the capacity to do 3 simultaneous calls and you want to place 4 the fourth one would switch over then to the...
Exactly.
The mobile network.
Overflow, or even better, not better yet, but if the IP network goes down or if the quality degrades, because the systems do determine, they can sense what the calls are going to sound like, then subsequent calls will automatically route across that backup link, PSTN link. So it's a transparent feature to the end user.
Don't forget the old CYA part of it, too, where if you configure the executive to have the highest quality line. I'm serious.
Oh, sure.
And you get the guys in the mailroom, unfortunately, may have to wait for one of those cheap connections
right. And
not get an outside line, but that executive better get that good line. So you can actually program different priorities.
I think what's really important to understand about Nortel is, like you guys said before, we've been doing voice for 105 years. And so the features that you would get in a typical system are transparent to the IP network from our perspective. In fact, you get additional features. So that's really important, because if a consumer is looking at for their enterprise voice over IP because they've read about it in the trade rags, because certainly the trade rags are certainly pushing it, right? They have to do a comparison. They should do a comparison of features, make sure that the features they have are going to be transparent to the IP function as well.
So also, when you sit at home and you have broadband, and again, I mean, we're talking about home. I mean,
sure.
A lot of it's available out for enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sit at home and you have broadband, you can use your phone.
Absolutely.
You can be on the internet,
mm-hmm.
so you can talk to grandma
right.
while you are showing her a picture.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and that go ahead.
Well, with that in mind, now I can just imagine my brother-in-law in Fort Lauderdale is listening. No, he's not, but I can imagine. And he'd say, this stuff sounds really cool. How do I do this?
Right.
I mean, he's got a broadband connection, and he's always trying to lay his bells and whistles. He'd want to know, okay, how do I do this?
Why don't you ask it when we come back?
That sounds like a good plan.
And that's a very good question.
Thank you. Okay.
And we'll answer it when we come back right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K3 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Okay, so you had a question, and you wanted to say that you're cheap and you want to know how to do it today.
I'll throw my brother-in-law to the bus. He's cheap.
Yeah.
I could just hear him call me. I heard about this voice over IP stuff. How do I get started? I want to start doing this. I want to save money on my calls. I'm going to use my broadband connection. I'd be,
Rick?
Well, there are a couple ways of doing that. First of all, what I would suggest is that the previous publication, IT Mag, is probably the best way to go. The best place to go for information on consumer IP telephony. But there are a number of ways he could do that. One would be, to run software off the support workstation, right? Which is basically just what we call a soft phone. Okay. The other one would be if, you know, he could take his existing analog phone and through an analog to IP adapter, IP enable his analog phone, right? Which is another way of doing voice over IP. He could also buy an IP phone. The IP phone would more or less be something he would have to buy from that manufacturer of the software typically. Because we are not at the point right now where you can just go buy any phone for the most part. Those are typically the three avenues of voice over IP, what you could do.
So
right
if
now.
He's cheap.
He's really cheap.
So he'll go for the soft phone.
Soft phone, right. Yeah. And the soft phone, the technology of that has become much better because...
Where do people get them?
Soft phones, you can normally go on if you were to go to IT Mag and find the vendor of choice, they have free downloadable soft phones. And then typically what they'll do is they'll have a license where you can, when you run the software.
Does Nortel have?
Nortel has a soft client, absolutely. It's called the 2050. And, although that is more of a CPE or an enterprise based product, that will certainly open up hopefully to the public where they can use that.
Do they have a free copy of it?
I don't know if we have a free copy of that at all, but I think we have.
But more important, it's got to be what's behind it. Because
yeah.
that client has to talk to a server.
Right.
That client has to use the rest of the infrastructure configured to recognize it. And
now, Centrix IP, what I mentioned before, Centrix IP will be able to use absolutely the soft client, no doubt about it, soft client and our IP phone as well. And the goal here, I think, with this type of communication is to leverage the protocol, which means I don't want to use Nortel's equipment, their IP service, or their IP. Well, let's just say hypothetically, I don't want to use their phone. I like this phone over here better. It serves a purpose better. but I want to use the applications from Nortel, and I think that's where most of the technology is going, for Nortel to deliver those next-generation applications.
So with the soft phone software, I'd install it, plug my headset into my
USB headset, hopefully, yeah,
and I'm good to go with dialing?
Absolutely. It's just a normal local dial. I mean,
and you dial a regular phone. I could dial out into Seattle.
Joe
Blow in Seattle.
Most of the applications you're going to run off a soft client are going to be analogous to your analog phone, except for maybe you might have to dial an access code of some sort for long distance, and an access code for
80
for
cents a minute. Don't forget there's still a provider in the background there.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It has to be. Just the fact that you're on the internet doesn't mean you can now.
Where you get the software, though, is going to be your provider, which is sometimes different in the way we think about things, right? So if you go and you find a soft client that works for you, that soft client manufacturer is the provider of the service. So
theoretically, though, if you had a public address on one side of the country and a public address on the other side of the country, you could set up a conversation between those two.
Well, you could do it.
You're eliminating the middleman.
Think about XP, right? I mean, think about Yahoo and instant messaging. That's using SIP,
right?
So there's no reason why you couldn't do that
the average consumer would want to have a service to register with in order to provide those services. Like, how do I dial somebody who doesn't have an IP phone?
Well, more importantly, you want to have some sort of security as well, right? I mean, so if it's public, you want to have either a VPN or some sort of NAT device that provides, you know, some sort of security to do that.
When I hear service, I hear dollars. Like, oh, yeah, you use them as a service provider. What's that going to run per minute, like?
It's typically less than 5 cents a minute for any kind of call you're making.
Cool. Okay.
Typically less than 5 cents a minute. And like you said, 2 cents a minute phone cards, I know they're available now, but you get what you pay for. Normally, in that environment, you won't get things like calling line ID and calling party number display. I mean, if somebody calls me, I might just see a generic phone number. With 5 cents a minute, you would see their number come in, and you would know who it is. So that, to me, that's worth the 3 cents a minute more.
Good information we had here today. Unfortunately, we have to end the show.
Oh.
Why don't we just keep going?
Right. No, I think
Jared will be.
Jared's going to bite us, probably.
Close the door, man. Lock him out. We're in.
We're taking on the station. Rick.
Sir.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Anybody you want to say good morning to? Who's listening?
Say good morning to my beautiful girlfriend, Shelly.
Oh. Brownie points. He's trying to work.
I'm trying, man.
I said your name on the air.
Constantly. And my boss, Jim Harper, I promise I didn't mean to say VoIP.
I got him to say that.
Yeah,
VoIP,
he did.
VoIP.
He did.
Jim.
Good morning, Christine. Good morning, Gretel.
Good morning, Pam, and happy birthday, Eve.
And good morning, Kathy and Hannah and Mac and Norm and Ken, everybody else out there. If you didn't get in, email me. I'm known at 850thebuzz.com. That's it for today. Thank you for tuning in to Sports Radio 850 The Buzz and to Computers 2K3. And thank you, Ken, for producing and screening. As usual, practice safe computing, back up your hard drive, and don't forget to use a virus scanner. We'll be back here next Sunday at 8. Now stay tuned to Sports Sunday with J. Doug Whaley and Ken, coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz.